Welcome to Star for the Universe On-Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, join us for a podcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on TalkShoe, search for call ID 17702 on TalkShoe.com, or you can join us on Twitch.tv. Just go to Twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. There's an active chat room there with all kinds of lovely people. And, of course, if you want to, you can call in. There's many numbers you can call in for TalkShoe, and that those are also widely available. Just go to TalkShoe.com, and you'll find them there. And, of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. And just to let you know, there is no news this week. Big surprise, there's been not much happening since December, including me. I've been pretty much on a hiatus to a certain degree. So with that, that is the news or no news for this week. And let me, it's the only old Paul Friends welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just me. Of course, I have these wonderful people in the different chat rooms, from TalkShoe over here to Twitch over here. Also, just a reminder, Happy New Year! This is the first broadcast of the new year. I apologize for last week. I did not have a podcast at all, and that is due to we had a minor electrical glitch here, and that it glitched exactly at the wrong time. And since I'm not using it, I don't use a laptop, so, and even though I do have UPS, it glitched just enough. So basically, it hit just the right bit on my hard drive, and I could not boot my operating system. Yes, and also, as Dave pointed out, for those of you on the video, you'll notice behind me is just a little bit different. That's because I totally rearranged my office. I'm not quite done cleaning it up and arranging things. They're everywhere where they're supposed that I want them to be. It's just that I need to clean those things that I moved into those locations. I got like the one which is right over this corner, this shoulder here, the TV and that set up there. That needs to be cleaned out. That whole TV portion is gonna be cleaned out. I gotta see if I can get my son's old PS3 repaired. I'm not sure if anyone does it. I think at least in the area. I have to see if I can get it done, because it's a weird situation with that PS3. Actually, I opened it up, and the PS3 actually had rust. And it's like, rust? How can it have rust? I don't know. When I opened it up, I was actually expecting a totally different thing. I was expecting it to be full of dust. And, you know, especially because I got cats all over this house, I was expecting it to be full of, you know, kefir. And that's why it was overheating. No, it's overheating because it's rusting. So I was like, okay, I think I got a pro looking in on this thing. So hopefully I can get it working again. If not, it's going to be interesting, because of my understanding is that my son has this. Right now, I know you can't see it, but right now, over here, there's a set of shelves. And on that set of shelves, there's a whole collection of my son's PS3 games. He actually has a PS4 at the moment, and my understanding is the PS4 will not play the PS3 games, which, unless they're on, I think they might play some of the online downloadable games. But my son gets the hard copy games, you know, so. If I can't get it fixed, then I might have to do something for my. I might actually have to take them and maybe See if I can get a little trade in from maybe like GameStop or something like that. I'll just have to wait and see on that. But that's another issue altogether. That's not why we are here together this evening. But I figured as Dave pointed out in the chat, that I had rearranged the broadcast booth. And yeah, that I really have. I usually am on the corner over there. The corner over there points you towards the door, which is over there. So tonight, you don't have to worry about that. Now, I'm still going to rearrange things a little bit because I'm not sure if you noticed. Well, if you're on the video, you'll see it. And the one thing that's bothering me at the moment is a light right here. And that is, I can see it. I'm looking at the monitor by the Twitch stream. And Chris is saying, when it comes to PS3 games, I should probably just keep them and sell them from dollar bill in 20 years. It's like, yeah, I'm not sure about, that, but you never know. I'm not sure if they'll be considered collector's items by that time. You never know. Good evening, Iggy. But anyway, you know, I don't like that one light right there. And so I'm probably going to need to, because currently I've got an LED right here. I got a set. There's actually two of them, and I've only used one so far. Just because I've had that light behind, basically in front of me. So I got a nice glow from there. And I had this one on the other side of me giving me a nice glow over here. So I could, my face was evenly, you know, lit. So because right now my face is not as evenly lit as I would like, but it is what it is. I have not had time to really work on that. I might work on that in the next, I should have some time this weekend to work on that. Because that shouldn't take me long. It maybe take me 30 minutes or something like that. You know, the tough part of that is just going to be cables. The weird part is that this is the first time since the fire many, many years ago now. I have a socket down there. I just realized I can't put anything in the sockets. I don't know what they did. My guess is they might have covered them up while they painted. And they just put the cover back on without untaping the sockets. So I got to open it up and find out what's going on. So, but anyway, I should be able to have both LED lights set up next week, and I should be able to turn off that light next week. So the in my mind, the video should look better. You know, of course, what that might do is everything that you see currently in the background, it might turn really dark, so you might not be able to see at all. So it will be interesting overall when it comes to what the new look for the video will be. But in any case, moving onward and forward to something that actually the people listening on purely audio can actually enjoy. I'm sure they're going, this is really kind of boring. It's like, yeah, I understand. Trying to describe something visual to an audio audience is not exactly an easy thing to do. Lord knows, God bless the radio broadcasters for like baseball and football games who are trying to describe what's happening on the field, because Lord, you have to really have a good imagination for that. And to me, that's one thing I'm just going to mention this really quickly. And that is, in my mind, at least for me, for a radio broadcast to really hit home, to truly get a good picture, I have to either attend the game or watch the games enough on TV, or as I said, you know, be in the park, so I can have a good idea what that looks like. So, but you know, as I said, you know, that helps, and I'm sure anyone's on the just the audio stream and never has actually looked at the video, this all is kind of is quite boring. So, anyhow, But, you know, the reason why, one of the reasons I rearranged this place is just because I wanted to have a little more room. You know, I hadn't actually gone through some of my stuff and got rid of some of the crap I did. Or in some cases, get rid of some of the crap. Some of it is just organize some of it and put it where it belongs. You know, because Lord knows I needed to trim down on a lot of stuff that we had around here. So, you know, way too much stuff. So, anyhow, moving onward. The topic for this evening is a topic actually recommended. Actually, Iggy, they do put things on sale. It's just usually it's only special sales during the holidays. They had a sale for, what was it? I forget when it was. I think it was November and... Yeah. Oh, okay. If you're talking about heavily discounted items, it's rare because remember, one thing about ADB, ADB is not like most retailers. Most retailers buy a quantity of stock, and then they have to, you know, to move things to get more stock in, they have to get rid of the old stock. Well, ADB is more of a print on demand. So, and I'm not sure, well, War Games Vault is having a sale, and if they want to, that's fine. You know, a lot of times why you have sales on items like that is just to increase membership, you know, have people go, you know, visit, use your store over another store. Because remember, at least when it comes to ADB, War Game Vault is the same as Warehouse 23, is the same as Drive Through RPG. So they're competing against each other. So they want the sales coming to them. Now, obviously, War Game Vault is not going to sell something at a loss. You know, and that's what comes down to when it comes to ADB. When it comes to physical products are always expensive. You know, I'm not sure how much of a markup ADB has. And Lord knows, I don't think he will ever tell us. So, but MMP, I don't know what MMP stands for, Iggy, so I apologize on that in that regard. But anyway, let's get back to the topic for this evening, because otherwise I'm gonna be chatting away for nothing. Multi-Man Publishing, Maker's of ASL. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sure how ASL does it. Multi-Man Publishing, you know, who does ASL. I'm not sure, you know, what their overhead is and so forth. So I can't speak for ADBs. I can't speak for Multi-Man, because I don't think they're gonna tell you. No one tells you, you know, and you never want to sell stock, you know, so your product for less than it costs to produce. And Lord knows, I think the most difficult part for when it comes to miniatures, and then ADB, I think, said basically they don't get much profit at all off the miniatures that they sell from Shapeways. So most of the profits from Shapeways go to the sculptor of it. So, well, SGW. You know, they've Games Warehouse has been working on that for a long, long, long time. I really need to do that. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm looking at the news section of SFB Online. I'm really listening. I've been really slack in that. Now, one thing that was a topic that was requested by Chris and Iggy which is a history of SFB Online. Hopefully this will be longer. This could be a very, very short podcast if I just go through this. Once upon a time in a land far, far away, a person named Greg Dykhouse created a Visual Basic program. And the reason why he did this, created this Visual Basic program, which allowed him to connect up with, he set up a nice, he was technology savvy enough so he could set up his own little server, gave his little Visual Basic program to some friends of his, because this was way back, back in like the, let's see, late 90s. I think it was, can't remember exactly the date when SFB Online came into existence. And of course, SFB Online originally, back in the day, when Greg Dykhouse created it, it was not a commercial product. It was a way for him and his friends, like Paul Scott, I'm not sure who else, but I'm pretty sure him and Paul Scott played a lot, be able to play SFB against each other and practice for the Gold Hat Tournament. Because back then, SFB was very big. You know, it was just coming out of the interim, and so they still got they had a lot of people coming to Origins to compete in the Gold Hat Tournament. I still remember when they first came out of the interim, we had, oh my, it was easily over 100 players playing in that tournament. It was just, it was crazy. It was awesome. It was totally awesome. That was back in the day when you would actually spend the whole convention. Definitely, that's the only game I really wanted to play. And also, it's the only game I really knew that much about, the Origins. And that was playing SFB. Everybody wanted to play SFB. People would spend their whole time at Origins playing SFB. It was awesome. But, you know, he created this Visual Basic app and set up this server so they could communicate between this Visual Basic app and practice for the Gold Hat Tournament, which was great. Then Greg realized he could actually make, you know, he'd actually, you know, servers cost money. So he figured, you know, that he could actually make a little money and pay for the server, because there was enough interest, because a lot of people were playing tournaments, you know, SFB back in the day, you know, in 98, around 98 when he created this. And so he started selling subscriptions to this. And architecturally speaking, it was interesting, because one of the decisions he made back then was to use something which most people wouldn't think of right off the top of their heads, which is an IRC server. So most people don't know what IRC server, and they probably don't care. But this is a really old internet technology, which was, this was the IM of back in the day. This is the first IM system, you know, instant messaging system. And you had your channels, and you can talk individually. You know, that's what IRC did. And as I said, it's older than the World Wide Web. You know, it's, and so he did that, and actually had a Did he do it or did I have to do it? I don't think he did. I think I'm the one who... I'm not sure whether he did or I did. I think he might have. Which is, he had customized IRC server a little bit because of the IRC server, you know, with the way it was designed. The IRC server would throttle you when it comes to the amount of traffic that you sent, because make sure that's a part of the mechanism to make sure that the server's not being overwhelmed. So it would throttle people's postings. And unfortunately, when it comes to online, when you're using that as a router, because that's basically what IRC was. It's a message routing system. You set up your rooms or communication or channels, and then when you send it to the server, it then broadcasts it to everyone that's in that room/channel. So that so it made it interesting in that it was, and the really to me was interesting, and it was this for a long time, was that the client was a distributed client. That means each individual player maintained the status of his units. And when it comes to McGray created it, in Visual Basic, you had one ship versus one ship. You only could play tournament cruiser, tournaments. And I'm not sure we even have... To say that it was rudimentary is being generous. The ships themselves were not, they weren't represented as an SSD. There was no SSDs. I'm not sure how many people listening to my voice have ever logged into SFB Online as a demo account and then gone into a fleet battle. If you're a demo account, you have no access to the SSDs at that point. So yes, text-based SSDs. That's exactly what it is. Now, my text-based SSDs are a little more generic, I could say, because depending upon the system, he either had numbers or he had checkboxes. You know, like for when it comes to, it had each of the, each one of the weapon systems was it with the checkbox. So it was, well, Iggy, yeah, SFPP and SSH are really important protocols to use. Yeah, so that's the way you would see it on the screen. And you know, they did have the counters, and actually I still use the counters for tournament play that Greg Dykhouse scanned in to the computer. That tells you that, you know, one thing I probably should do one of these days is rescan in all of the either get the graphics directly from A to B, which I think I can get. Or rescan in all the tournament counters and go from there, because if you actually looked at those counters, they're kind of, you can tell that they were scanned in images of physical counters, which at the time is exactly what you wanted. It did the job, but more importantly, if you really thought about it, it gave that little real aesthetic. The aesthetic of actually real counters. So it was kind of nice. Now, back in February of the year 2000, there's a company, a name of Symbionic Games. And they acquired the license for SFB from Greg Dykhouse, who was the owner of Online Gaming Systems. He still is owner of Online Gaming Systems. The thing is, the only profit he gets out of is the royalties that I send him. Because that was part of the whole deal. So, now, Symbiotic Games was run by a man named of Patrick Abram. Patrick Abram, then, what he did is he hired me to run the servers, to enhance the client, to make the whole system better. And that was interesting. Let me see, where were we at that back in those days? I forget the server. Actually, the funny part is back in like year 2000, for quite a few years. I mean, quite a few years. This is going to sound strange to anyone who's listening to my voice who knows anything about technology. And that is, it was for me, for what I could find at that time, which is very limited, it was cheaper to get the same price or cheaper to get a physical box to actually rent a physical box in a data center versus having a virtual machine running on a larger box in a data center. I know this sounds crazy, but that's the way it was. Back in that day, there was no real advantage of having a virtual machine. There was none. Absolutely nothing. We don't have nearly the tools that we have today when it comes to setup, creation, automation, all that kind of thing. Yes, Iggy, that's way before AWS. It predates them. Heck, I was happy that I actually could rent a physical box and not actually have to buy a physical box and have it actually shipped to a data center and have it installed. That's why, and Lord knows about that. So, this was back in the year 2000. Back in the year 2000, we were still using that Visual Basic application. Now, I didn't actually do much when it comes to the application back then, because it was Visual Basic, and I didn't really know Visual Basic. But I think Patrick Abram was doing any development there and making sure that if there's anything that broke, that he could fix it. But I ran the website. I ran the website, the servers, and that kind of thing. Servers? Actually, there were multiple servers back then when it was originally created. I'm just remembering about this. Because at the moment it's one server. Because there's no reason to have multiple servers. Because I have powerful enough box that I can run both everything on a single server. Oh, don't get me started on acoustic couplers, because I'll actually get into that for a moment. Now back in the year 2002, I created the first Java-based online client. It used the same backend, it still used an IRC server. Now, what I did is I took a abandoned open source project and I used that as the basis for the SFB Online client, because it had everything that I needed to have. And actually, I ignored some of the things back in the day, which I think would have been behooved me, which is one thing I was looking back. I was talking to people about. It's like, okay, should I actually in Java, rely on Swing, or should I actually do everything, all the manipulation myself? And I think I would have been better off if I would dropped Swing and gone to what they suggested, which was, do everything myself. I actually did a lot of work for that. The idea was to change it so I no longer relied on Swing, and it could actually, each piece was actually, I actually placed the pieces on the screen and so forth, and didn't have them managed at all by Swing. The code's still there. Just never, I think I tried it out and never got it quite working. And since it was already working just fine with Swing, it was fine. Now, that first version, it was called SLP Online. I called it SLP on XP. I think it doesn't say it here, but I'm pretty sure I called it SLP Online XP. Or it might have been. No, okay, no. That was 2003. That was 3.0. So it was Java-based, so I could run on multiple platforms. On this, the funny part about this version of SLP Online is that SLP Online could actually run on a Mac. Not today's Macs, not the beautiful, Mac OS X operating system. I'm talking about Mac OS 9. And that, it could actually run back in the day, it actually could run on the older Mac operating system, which is interesting by itself. But I don't think I ever distributed a version that actually ran. I think I focused mainly on Windows. I don't remember. Let me just look at this for a moment. Okay, it says cross-platform, but I don't see what platforms. I didn't list any platforms, so I'm not sure. I don't quite remember if I know I did not make it available for Mac. I know I made it available for Windows because I remember going and actually buying Install Anywhere. I think I bought it or got like the demo version. It was rudimentary and it worked. That piece of software is no longer supported, which that's why I currently the installer is a little bit wonky on Windows because of the free version. The open source installers don't have some of the things, and the problem is the closed source, the commercial ones, are so freaking expensive as hell. They cost, I think last time I checked, it was like $400 to purchase, and then you have to have a support contract. If you want to have the latest updates and have support for it, it was like something nuts. And it could get really, really expensive, into the thousands of dollars for an installer. So, it's just nuts. So, but, back in, that was, it was still, back in 2002, it was still pretty rudimentary when it comes to the client. And, move things around and so forth. In 2003, I actually added the ability to have a campaign room and many other, speed plot calculator was added. Before then, you had no speed plot calculator. There's a lot of features that were not in the original SLP Online client. And like the ability to track your ships, speak plot calculator. This was added in 2003. Also decreased bandwidth requirement. I really improved that greatly. No, in 2003, it was Java by then. It switched over to Java as of 2002. So for 2 years, from between 2000 and 2002, 1998, when it first got created, all the way to 2002, it was a Visual Basic program. So, I'm looking at the news as a cheat sheet. Oh yeah. Oh boy. Sorry, I'm looking at the news, and I know why this news item's here. News item is 2.x style impulse activity illegal for tournament play. This was part, I think, if I recall correctly, this was part of the whole hubbub about Call to Fire. How many, Iggy, at the moment, I don't know. It's not that big. Actually, it is not that big at all when it comes to number lines of code. It is complex. If I was to guess, 10,000 lines of code. Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, Dave. Yes, it is snowing. It's actually been snowing for the past, let me look at the time. I think almost past hour, it's been snowing a little bit. We're supposed to get somewhere between 2 and 4 inches of snow, and it's supposed to end by like 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. So that is the weather report for Southeast Pennsylvania. What was it? I was filling out some survey. Oh yeah, no, it was a survey for a podcast that I listened to, and they wanted to know approximately what's the closest major metropolitan city that I live close to. And I'm kind of in the middle. I'm in the middle between Harrisburg and Philadelphia. And it's like, hey, which one do I choose? And I chose Philadelphia just because of, I feel like mainly that's because I lived in Philadelphia for what? Around 5 or 6 years. And that was, part of that was just going to Drexel University in Philadelphia. And then I stayed in Philadelphia for another year with a friend of mine when I got a job in just over the county line in Montgomery County. And I do mean across the line, because there's a road called City Line Avenue, which basically it is the border between Montgomery County and Philadelphia. One side of the street is Philadelphia. The other side of the street is Montgomery County. How far am I from Hatboro? Are you talking about how far is Dave from Hatboro? Because I don't remember how far I am from Hatboro. Oh, Lord. There is one thing that I did have for a time, and Lord knows this will never happen again. And that is, for a while there, I had a free email service, which was part of your account. So what you would do is you could use your call sign at SFB Online, and then that would do a redirection to your email address. It would forward it to your email address. Had that for a while. Obviously, in this day and age, that ain't never going to come back. And actually, in 2003, November, we actually de-supported the 2.x version of the client, i.e. the Visual Basic version, and said, okay, after that, it's broken. Don't ever use it. You're going to have to figure out how to use the Java-based version. Oh, and this actually is a... I'm just going to mention this because it says in the news section, and I'm just going to mention it just because I think it's important. And that is, in December 2003, I added integration to PayPal, an automated integration to PayPal. So at that point, it became more of a hands-off operation. right now, it's when it comes to PayPal, it's pretty much a hands-off operation, which is a good thing. When it comes to day-to-day operations, I want it to be as automated as possible. I don't want to have to be involved in renewing and the subscribers and things like that. Obviously, I have I've had ad support for expired accounts and all that kind of thing, so that you're no longer considered a user when your account expires. It's going to be interesting in the future. I still have to get around to that. But so, and we're keep on releasing new versions of the Java client. Now, as of 2006, something really eventful happened. Oh, Mr. Dykhouse, the original creator of SFB Online. Welcome. So back in 2006, when it comes to SFB Online, I actually added the support for FedCom Online. So we actually, you could play Federation Commander over the internet at that point. You could play interactively. And so it was really nice to announce that and have it so that it could play both SFB and FedCom. Now, as I still need to tweak the FedCom, because the one thing that I think I have to double check it now, because I know originally when I implemented Federation Commander Online, I decided to go with a totally different approach when it comes to UI, totally different approach when it comes to rules. I tried to implement the rules as best as possible instead of the mindset of SFB. SFB, the client itself, was basically a tool to play SFB. You need to know the rules. It could actually give you suggestions and help you along those lines, but it did not implement the rules. FedCom actually implemented a lot of those rules, especially when it comes to the allocation of energy for the movement and for weapons. That was, to me, to this day, that's one of those things that I am pretty proud of, which is what I did when it comes to the FedCom Online for the energy allocation and all that thing for the weapons, in that it's a directed chart state. It's a state chart where you have the option to change the state of that weapon, and you can define that state depending upon which state you want to go to. It has a certain energy cost associated with it, and then you change to that state. So, so that, to me, I'm still very proud of that little piece of technology that I created. Now, I understand that that's nothing new. Anyone can do it. It's just that's one of those minor little things that I'm still proud of when it comes to the code that I've written in the past. Another one of those things is back many, 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 many years ago. Geez, when I first, let's see, was it 86 or 87? Somewhere around there, I was working for Primavera Systems, and I basically created a set of macros to do queues. Yep. And Greg, I told them that basically the original reason that you created the tool was so that you and your friends, I think Paul Scott was one of them. I'm not sure if Tom Carroll was part of that lot, but you guys wanted to wanted a tool to play tournament games in preparation for the Gold Hat tournament. So, which I, you know, Okay, so yeah, both Paul Scott and Tom. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, it's fascinating, you know, how in the first iteration that SAP Online was if you literally think about it, it's a pretty basic tool. You know, but it got the job done. It allows you to do exactly what you wanted it to do. You got the practice playing. You had the ships on the screen, you know, so you can move it around. You could do damage allocation and things like that, you know, and energy allocation too, which was interesting. Later on, that was really interesting when it comes to anti-cheating technology and so forth. That was added to the client, now that I remember it, which was also a pain that Patrick added in to it, you know, because we had to try to add that into the client. I don't think that stuff's not really part of the client anymore, that anti-cheating technology, you know. Yep. Yeah, I was telling him how it was a text-based SSD, you know, numeric values. If I call correctly, also you had some of them which weren't, I forget if they were numeric values. I could have sworn some of them were checkboxes, you know, depending upon what kind of weapon system you are. Now, that one I might be wrong on. I'd have to probably do some searching on the internet to look at that. Wow. Holy cow. I'm sorry. I was looking back in the news, and one of the things that I just realized is that I have not had a price increase for the online client for the past 13 years. I increased the price from $10 to $15 for a 3 month subscription back in September of 2008. And I have not increased the price since then. And then I had one person who said that basically it was too expensive for them. And they live in Canada. And I can understand that. And actually, there was one thing I wanted to reply to them and never got around to it. And after I got their email, I thought about it for a while and say, okay, what's one way that someone could actually get enough benefit out of SAP Online to continue to be a customer, but it'd be cheaper than currently is? You know, I'll never make it free because I still have to pay the freaking bills to keep the servers up, keep them up and going, and keep them up and going just for SAP Online. I have to pay for them. Now, the one thing I was thinking of, and I'll just digress here just for a moment. The one thing I was thinking of was the possibility of micropayments. I'm not sure. You know, for some people, I think micropayments might actually do the job just great. The idea is, because originally I was thinking you pay on a per game basis, but that can be worked around. So I figured probably one way of not working around to work on, use a model of Starfleet Warlord. Which is Starfleet Warlord, you give me a bunch of money. It could be 15, it could be 20, it could be 30, it could be 100. How much do you want to pay? And then you would, for each turn you played, there would be a certain amount withdrawn from your account. So each time you started a new turn, you would pay a certain amount of money. And that would be withdrawn from your account. So, yeah, I know, Iggy, $5 a month. I know. You know, but they were looking for, I think it was $100 Canadian a year. And it's like, I'm sorry. It has two slices of pizza. You know, so I've thought about it. It would take a bit of time to implement it, you know, and of course it would have to be optional depending upon which people played, you know. Now, the big, Lord knows, we had an issue back in the day where people actually were downloading the, they get a subscription, download all the SSDs, use them locally, and never pay for another subscription again. They disappear. So I got a lot of churn back then. But so now, you know, that was the whole idea of the third generation definitions, where basically it's just numbers. When it comes to the box, it's still an SSD, but instead of having individual boxes, you have the numbers. So it makes it a lot harder to steal overall. Multiple. Okay. And that's about, I'm just looking at the news. I don't see anything else that's really that interesting, other than, of course, around 2015, of course, we have the mass work, which is okay. Actually, let me roll back just a little bit. Back in the day, around, I forget when we were actually I'm just looking. I can't find it here. I don't see it. Okay. There was many years ago, and I can't remember what year it was, that Rackspace had a fire. And I and my server was part of that fire. My server didn't you know burn up, fortunately. Okay. Thank you, Greg, for stopping by. It was a pleasure having you around for a bit. You know, I wish I could have gotten you on, you know, talking, and we could easily, you know, reminisce about back in the day, and I would love to ask you some questions about that. I think that would have been great, but that's fine. You have a good night. And that is we had a fire, and actually for I forgot how many, was it a couple weeks? SFB Online was completely down and offline, completely offline, because of the transformer in the building basically caught fire, and they had to shut down that transformer, and you know, the fire came in, and they actually had to relocate my server to a new building in the same location, and which actually that didn't turn out too bad at that point, they gave me a year free service. You know, if I stuck around, you know, for a full year, they would give me, it'd be free. I wouldn't have to charge. They wouldn't charge me a dime, and that was, in my mind, a great deal. So I was like, I'll stay. You know, of course, after that year came and gone, and I started getting charged again, that's when it's like, okay, you know, nothing against them, because they did a great job for me, and I thanked them. But at that point, it's like, okay, well, I think it's about time to move on. And that's one thing I'm not sure, I know most of you guys don't know, and that is, what I try to do is every between five to seven years, I try. I set up a new server. Ever since that incident, I set up a new server every 5 to 7 years. So I have to migrate everything every 5 to 7 years. The reason being, I move every 5 to 7 years, was just because of I don't have to worry about a server which starts getting flaky. Now, obviously, in a service center, you might not have that issue, but still, in a service center, you've got a VM somewhere in that service center. Somewhere on that, in there, whether it's on the server itself or NAS or whatever, there's some physical, hard drive, you know, physical space that actually gets saved to. If that piece of hardware goes zip, and I don't, you know, if I have a backup, I'm down. So that's why I figured every 5 to 7 years, I need to move to a new server. Now, obviously, I've been with the same provider for the past, I want to say 10 years, maybe. Yeah, I think I think it's been like 10 years. I've been with this one provider called DigitalOcean, and they're a great shop. I didn't appreciate what happened a few months ago, but that was partially my fault, you know, and it was a mess. But end up being partially my fault. But anyhow, you know, they've been great. I've had no problem with their support, you know. But you know, and I like them. But anyway, so I'm sometime I don't remember. I'm apologize to you, because one of those things that happened along the way when it comes to the technology that supported the SAP Online Client is that I went to Origins 1 year, and I started working on the back end, because one of the biggest issues that we had for a while there, and this is back in the dial-up days, because I know that this is when I actually had some people on dial-up. And when I had the people on dial-up, the problem with using the IRC server, because I'm still using an IRC server at this point, that will change at some point in the future. It's a big router. What's the big problem with that? And not just the big router, it's also distributed system. So each player would have to sync up their, when a person entered the room, that person would then send out a message going, send me all of the pieces. So each and every single player, and they have to send all the pieces that they owned. So the more people that showed up, you know, as soon as someone showed up, the player's bandwidth would be taken up by that action. So yeah, the great thing about it being distributed is that you could, you know, if I could easily switch out the server to be something else. I was thinking about doing that, I never did. There's one called Jaxta, and that technology is kind of faded into oblivion at this point in time. Because that was a peer-to-peer communication protocol for Java. And I never did that, and I'm glad I didn't. But anyway, so one of the origins I went to, I spent a good amount of time in my when I had time, you know, which was, and I worked on, was it Origins, or was I on a trip. I know it was in a hotel room. I'm going to say Origins because I don't remember if it was Origins or just a business trip. And I worked on changing it back in. The whole idea was modifying the IRC server so that what would happen is that that person who came into the room, they'd send the message. And then the only thing that would respond is the server. And the server then would send out the notifications to everybody, saying, notification to that one person. Say, okay, I need a listing of all the pieces. Then it would send that person, and only that person, that. Because remember, also, the one minor problem with being distributed and each player, it's not just that player the player would have to keep on sending it out. But all the other people in that room would then have to receive it and ignore it. Every single time a new person, another observer came into the room. So that required a lot of bandwidth for just watching the game each and every time someone came in and out of the room. So at this moment in time, all the pieces are stored on the server. All the pieces of information is stored on the server. There's quite a few things. There are, both the playing pieces, there's things called terrain pieces. Terrain pieces have only been used for F&E. What else? And there is some board status information that's stored up in the server too. But so overall, the idea being is that the actual server has a central location. It has what's called the canonical, copy of the information. So that's the true north. So if you did a sync, in other words, in theory, if you came out, if you lost your connection, you went into a room and you said, okay, you just went into the room, you should get your pieces back at that moment in time. It sounds weird, but you should be able to get your pieces back. And after that point, then all you need to do is switch it so that you are a player and off you go. Now, I'm not sure how well that works at this moment in time. It's been a while since I've actually tested that feature. Da-da-da. I'm just making sure that. And actually, that's one thing in the. So, since we talked about the history of SAP Online, I might as well talk a little bit about the future. Now, obviously, one thing that I talked about at the beginning of last year, pretty sure it was last year, maybe the year before that. And I've talked to actually many years, which is what I would really like to do is have a web-based version of the client because Lord knows I've been having issues upon issues about, things are getting tighter and tighter on these stinking operating systems. So that actually getting a program installed on an operating system is getting more and more difficult to do. So, and it's costing more and more money to do it. For example, signing will cost easily $100 per platform. Currently, the only two I have to do that for is for Windows and for Mac. That cost me, that'll cost me like $100 a year. I still haven't done the Windows portion. I've bought it. I just haven't given them all the information, which is I'm still like skeevies about who I'm going to give it to for only $100, versus some of the ones that are more reputable, like VeriSign and so forth, which would cost like $400 a year. But that's the cost. So that's why I would like to have it as web based, and also that will allow me to basically people to play it on any platform. Also, one thing I want to do is another issue that people have been having is that, of course, since I'm using IRC, IRC was called connection-based technology. And some people's connections aren't the greatest. And in some cases, And now the problem is with this is, and that IRC is considered a what's called a CNC protocol for botnets. Well, though, you know, there's easier ways of doing things. Not maybe not easier, but at the very least, more. I'm not gonna say. What am I say? Well hidden. You know, and I've Lord knows some people. Let me see. There was one botnet that was controlled via posts to Instagram. Another one was using a Twitter account. Actually, I heard about one this week, which was using Slack channels as command and control systems. Because they could, when they got into businesses, they didn't know. You know, it's just not just additional Slack traffic. Now, there's one thing I had to look at a little more deeply, because if I recall correctly, to add that integration, you know, outside integration. Well, actually, if you're doing it for an outside Slack server, then you should be fine. That's probably the way they did it. Was they have their own Slack server, Slack instance that they set up and so forth, just like Discord. I'm willing to bet somebody's using probably a Discord server as a command and control server. You know, so IRC. Still, it's connection-based, so that means that if you don't have a really good internet connection, if you have dropouts and so forth, you will be disconnected from SMB Online. And as it is, I'm not sure how many people have actually been on SMB Online lately, but I'm sure you've been seeing the test object account keep on going, logging out and logging in, logging out and logging in. So, and I said, at the moment, I have not done it yet. I want to bounce the actual IRC server. And the reason being is that I've seen that behavior before. And that usually means that at some point, the SAP Online server is going to get flaky. And people won't be able to log in. So I wanted to preempt that, but unfortunately, I keep on logging in. There's keep on being people with in games at the moment. At some point, basically, it's going to be bounced whether they like it or not. You know, if it gets flaky to that end. So I know this is a precursor of things to come. So I need to bounce that. Yeah, I might have to do that because of, as I said, you know, normally I can find some downtime where there's like just me and maybe somebody else. And they're just hanging out in the bullpen. In which case, I can bounce it, ding, and it solves and no problem. But this might be due with Frank and his a game that's running for 120 turns. The big issue, I think, for the 120 turns is I'm going to have to scroll to get to that. To get to that turn, because I attempted to implement the swapping of the columns. So the first column is the current turn, and the last column is, you know, it's like a history engine allocation instead of the engine allocation based on you know, the standard EA, which is, you know, each turn goes to the right. And I can see how that could be quite useful, and because you always know that your current column is on the left hand side, which to me makes sense. But at the moment, I ripped it out because of it was I didn't get all the spots, and so it broke things terribly for people. So anyhow, that is some of the history and some of the future that is going to be holding for SMB Online. Obviously, I'm still be running. I'm hoping to also add some additional integrations into SMB Online. mainly to the Square Up service, because I'm getting more and more of those. Now, obviously, I've not gotten that many subscriptions this year. I got around, I think maybe 10 on Square. But that's a good number of people. And the problem is each and every time someone uses Square, I have to have a manual intervention and actually either renew them manually, or I need to go and create their account manually. So I need to do that. And also another thing I want to do in the future is I want to change the way demo accounts are used. I want to be more of the way or things are done today. Now, I personally find some of those annoying. That is basically you have to sign up for an account. Now, it might be a free account, completely free. The idea being there is that, okay, you sign up for a demo, you sign up for an account, and then that's going to become the free tier, the demo account tier, where you can play as long as you want, but you're only going to be able to play, you know, the limited amount of ships that you have as a demo account currently. And that email, so I capture the email address. At that point, I can send them communications. And also part of that communications, of course, is, okay, I want you, here's a link to Discord channel, you know, Discord server. Join the Discord server. Send them, you know, I need to record some videos on how to use the online client, and then have it so that they can actually, in that email, here, watch these videos, and you'll be able to figure out, and this will help you to learn the SAP online client. You know, things like that. I wish I could take it like a month off of work and just work on those things. Of course, if I took a month off of work, I'm not sure I would spend the whole month working on that, so. Anyhow, I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about my J job because, guys, I love you. But SAP Online and Starfleet Warlord does not pay the bills. My day job, that pays the bills. This is a lot. This pays for my hobbies, is what it does. And, you know, I have a very small bit of profit each year, and that's because we have a very small community. I'm being honest here. At the end of the year, I usually have no profit because of some little things that I buy to support the hobby. You know, like the latest module. Actually, I spent quite a bit of money buying FedCom cards. So I got quite a collection now. I still need to buy some more. And things like that, you know. So anyhow, I think that'll wrap it up for this evening. I had set up, maybe next time I might actually talk about Starfleet Warlord and a little bit about that with Bruce Grawl and all of them, you know, and hopefully talk about some other wonderful things. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.